Guys, it's here. WrestleMania week is upon us, and it is Monday, April 1st. This is by no means going to be an April Fool's sort of podcast here, but a lot of interesting stuff is happening on just in WWE right now. CM Punk had the interview with that one dude. I forget his name, but it was on YouTube. I watched the whole thing when I was at the gym. Exciting stuff. He was talking about AEW, talking about Nick and Tony Khan, talking about his return to WWE and his time in AEW. It was just a fascinating interview to watch. And also, today was the debut of Bray Wyatt's documentary. And what did they talk about? It was such a good documentary. The whole time, the whole morning, I was teary-eyed. It was really good. I highly recommend anyone to go watch that. It's on Peacock. I don't know if you have Peacock, but I assume that if you listen to this podcast, that you do have a Peacock membership. But the documentary wasn't just solely, I mean, it was solely about Bray Wyatt. But at the very end of it, we got a glimpse and a little sneak peek and a little teaser about a former WWE superstar returning. Is he going to return alone? Is he going to return with five other members? We're going to talk about that later on in the podcast. And if you watched Monday Night Raw, it seemed like that that a lot of the superstars are very more free on the microphone. And I'm mainly talking about CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, and Seth Rollins promo on Monday Night. And Monday Night Raw, it was probably the best Monday Night Raw that we have seen in a long time. Probably like the, I said it on Twitter, probably the best Monday Night Raw for the whole year. The best show, top to bottom, for the whole 3 hours, because doing a whole 3 hour show is very, very difficult, and I wish that they would go back to 2 hours. But nonetheless, going to be talking about that and talking about how Becky Lynch, she's really not happy about being a little bit more edgier. So, a lot of news to get started with. But I think all of us, and the whole reason why you're even clicking on to this podcast right now, because it's, I'm probably going to make it the header. The CM Punk news. CM Punk, with the interview, talking about Tony Khan, Nick Khan. He even brought up Vince McMahon. Well, he didn't bring him up, but the interviewee, he brought up Vince McMahon, and I was just instantly glued. I was on the treadmill. I saw Twitter blowing up with CM Punk getting interviewed, and I just had to go see it. I had to watch it. And usually at the bottom right-hand corner of any YouTube channel, it'll show if they're having a live stream. It'll show how many people are in the live stream. This motherfucker had like 22,000 people in the live stream. I mean, people want to call CM Punk overrated, whatever, but dude, he just draws people to him. It is absolutely amazing when you just sit there and watch it. And by the way, before I get into the CM Punk thing, CM Punk definitely did say a few things like how he inspired all these future superstars that wanted to be in the business. And I'm definitely one of them. CM Punk is probably the whole reason why I looked at WWE in a different light. CM Punk, with his pipe bomb segment, he just opened my eyes to so much more than just in between the ropes in a wrestling match. He let me open my eyes to like the whole, like how a show should be done and who should be, you know, be at the very top of WWE. So CM Punk, I know you're not listening, but I just want to verbally say that you are absolutely 100% right. You have inspired me to have this show, and I guarantee that you've inspired so many other people for the business of pro wrestling. But you know, before we get into everything, I just want to take a moment out of the podcast right now and say thank you all for joining me here on Pardon the Pipe Bomb podcast. If you guys want to support the podcast, please hit that thumbs up on YouTube for any of my YouTubers out there that are listening to the podcast on YouTube. I really do want to get some video content, but I want to get a good camera before I even do any of that stuff. But In the meantime, I'm going to continue being on just regular podcasts. You can hear me on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. And I know Odyssey has like a podcast on there, but I'm not sure. I'm pretty much anywhere that you can think of. I believe I'm on Amazon now. But again, if you want to support the podcast, leave a negative 5-star review on it. I love interacting with you guys on there. Because I'm a very small podcast and I'm going to continue to grow, and I hope that you guys are going to continue with me on this journey of talking about what I love to, you know, talk about. But anyway, let's get into the news of CM Punk. CM Punk, I know I keep saying his name, but this interview with the dude on YouTube, I'm drawing a blank. Let me get up the article here, but CM Punk, he was on the MMA Hour, and the interview, it ran about, you know, I think like 2 hours. I was at the gym. Yeah, just about 2 hours, I think. So you can imagine that they covered a lot of his time in AEW, his time in WWE, and then the 10-year departure from WWE, and then coming back. I mean, they went in depth about everything, like the Elite, Colt Cabana, Tony Khan, the Jack Perry situation that happened, and his injury that happened at this year's Royal Rumble. And I think, before I go into the interview, I think CM Punk did a phenomenal job with this interview. I know that them talking about what CM Punk was talking about, if you guys want to go listen to it, all that you have to search on YouTube is CM Punk MMA Hour interview. I guarantee that it'll be the first thing to pop up, but if you want to sit there and if you have 2 free hours just to sit and, you know, or if you're driving along on the highway, want to listen to something, I would highly recommend you going and listening onto that podcast. But CM Punk, he was just talking about how him returning to WWE and how much more laid back it is from AEW and how AEW is really not a business. They don't really have a boss. Tony Khan is just, like I've always said it on this podcast, Tony Khan isn't really a boss. He's just a kid, a fan, which is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But if you want to have a successful business, you need to have a more approach like Triple H is doing right now with WWE. And Nick Khan, of course. But with Tony Khan in AEW, CM Punk was just not, he wasn't slandering them. He was just spitting facts. I feel like that CM Punk was trying to be very neutral, but he also was trying to probably clear his name, because I guarantee with Tony Khan saying that he feared for his life and everybody in the locker room feared for their lives, and with the NDA that was signed, CM Punk really couldn't talk about the first interaction that he had with AEW and when he was gone for a couple months. It was just fascinating to listen to. And CM Punk also mentioned on this podcast that before he signed back with WWE, it wasn't until that week of Thanksgiving that everything was set in stone and everything was getting set in motion here. And this is what he said on the interview, though. And this is when WWE on calling him 5 days before Survivor Series to return to the company. And he said, and I quote, "I think the call was more of a, hey, we want to talk to you about coming back. We'd love to have you for the Royal Rumble," because they assumed that I probably had some sort of non-compete clause or something like that. And they were kind of floored when I was like, no, I'm ready to go. Let's do it. And I think that he did mention on the podcast that Nick Khan was like, well, I wish I would have known that sooner. And then this is when on signing a contract before Survivor Series, and this is what CM Punk then said on the interview. He said, "I don't think they would ever allow me to be on television without signing something. I literally was on the phone, sign, go, and I signed and then walked into Gorilla, and it was like the most crowded elevator. Everyone turned and looked, and their jaws just dropped on the floor, and people were like, what?" And CM Punk then continued on with the interview, saying, I think this was being referenced for the question, Punk on the difference in locker rooms from when he was there before. So this is before 10 years ago when CM Punk was in the WWE locker room versus now 10 years later. CM Punk then said this: "It is a lot friendlier. You have to realize to talk about the way that the culture is now, you have to talk about the way the culture was when I got there, when I showed up. It was very much a Shark Tank, cutthroat, super competitive, and everybody looked at me like, fuck you, why are you here? You don't belong here. I was on television with nothing but top guys. I mean, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, Ric Flair, Kurt Angle, Kane, and there's probably like five other guys I'm 100% forgetting about. It was brutal, and to try to scratch and claw and get recognized and noticed and to get a little bit of TV time, I was eluded. It was a lot different. Now I think it's more laid back. I think that's probably the best way to say it. It's a relaxed atmosphere now." And so they were done talking about that, and then the interviewer brought up the Jack Perry situation, and basically we got a whole new light of how CM Punk was, how he's saying how he handled the whole Jack Perry situation. And I mean, it's a he said, she said type of thing. I mean, but all honestly, like, with all like reports coming out with AEW and how like dysfunctional like the back of the house is, I mean, dude, I might have to side with CM Punk here. And I'm not just fanboying over like CM Punk, but not just from him, but just from a lot of other people that are within like the company. We're hearing buzz about how AEW is very much like a high school type of atmosphere. Like, everybody has their own cliques, everybody has their drama. There's a bunch of mean girls, and I don't know. I'm just saying, like, when I'm not going to go into the whole Jack Perry interview part about it. If you want to listen to it, just search it and go Google it. I mean, it's right there all over the internet, or even go on X and search it on there. But I'm not saying that I'm siding with CM Punk, but excuse me, it's very hard to not want to think of it half glass full and side with CM Punk with this matter. Now, they brought up a interesting, well, the interviewee, he brought up the 2024 Royal Rumble and when he got hurt. CM Punk was just like, you know, saying, "I knew immediately that this wasn't good," and basically saying that, you know, like, "I'm not saying that these were the set stone plans, but it was definitely going to be probably me and Seth Rollins at WrestleMania for the World Heavyweight Championship." But he also went and stated that he told Triple H, Paul Levesque, that, "Hey, I don't want to take any spotlight away from anybody. So if the story makes sense, I'll do it. But I'm not here to try to take any spotlight or any fame away from these superstars that have worked so very hard at getting where they're at right now." Now, enough CM Punk talk. I mean, it's great that he went on and just kind of like, you know, cleared the air. All good stuff by CM Punk. I really did enjoy this interview. Now let's talk about Bray Wyatt's documentary. Bray Wyatt, and it was such a good documentary. Maybe it's just because I love documentaries and I'm a huge WWE fan. But I just thought everything was well done. I was shocked that they produced it here in Pittsburgh. But, you know, right at the beginning, it kind of made sense because the guy that created The Fiend, and just, it was really good to see Bo Dallas and the dude that created The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, and then afterwards created the Wyatt Six family, and how we all knew that it was going to be Bo Dallas that was going to be Uncle Howdy. And but with the documentary, just please go watch it. I was sobbing like my dog just passed away. I mean, it was so good, and it just really tugged strings at your heart. And but at the very end of the documentary, this is what I want to talk about. There was a tease. Since Peacock is with WWE, I was sure that WWE was going to pull something somewhere, and I knew it was going to be at the very end of the documentary. But it seems like that Bo Dallas is on his way back to WWE television here. When and where, we don't know, but it's definitely going to be in the works. But apparently, Bo Dallas has been under contract with WWE since 2022. And WWE, Triple H, they probably told him, hey, take as much time as you need. You know, there's absolutely no rush. Come back whenever that you feel ready and like all that. But I remember when I knew about all this, that Bo Dallas was going to be coming back. And when the tragic thing happened with like Bray Wyatt, I remember where I was. I was with my ex. We were downtown and I turned and looked at her and I was just like, oh my God, Bray Wyatt just passed away. And then she goes, oh, I'm sorry. Like she, like obviously she could care less, but me, I was very like, whoa. I mean, me and Bray Wyatt, we share the same birthday. We're practically the same person. I mean, I mean, I'm joking about that, but all seriousness, me and him do have the same birthday. And I was just very like, I was shocked. Everybody in the WWE universe was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I knew that he was dealing with health problems, but I guess COVID really... Anyway, I'm not going to get into that, but Bo Dallas was brought back to the company, like I said, with Bray Wyatt's return on Extreme Rules in 2022. And Dallas portrayed Uncle Howdy, the character, in March. Both Dallas and Wyatt were pulled from television due to Wyatt dealing with medical issues with his heart. And Peacock then... aired with Becoming Immortal is the name of the documentary, and it interviewed John Cena, Becky Lynch, Triple H, Bo Dallas, Seth Rollins. There's countless superstars that were being interviewed on this documentary, but there was, at the very end of the documentary, there was a figure shown in the background from Bray Wyatt, and then there was the lantern. And then you hear someone say, run. But Fightful Select, they're reporting on this. And then this is what the article says, that this is a teaser for Bo Dallas' eventual return to WWE TV. As of this writing right now, on April 1st, 2024, it is unclear when that will be or what the plans are for his return. But he's been under contract since 2022. See? I know what I'm talking about, kind of, but there are many things and I want to talk about Bo Dallas' return. How could WWE do this? I mean, I'll tell you this right now. Bo Dallas is not going to be returning on his own. Bo Dallas is going to want to solidify Bray Wyatt's character, and he wants to make Bray Wyatt proud. He even said it in the documentary. And I could definitely see Bo Dallas fulfilling Bray Wyatt's wish by continuing on and try to return the Wyatt Six family. Now, this is important. I'm pretty sure that all of us know who the four individuals could probably be. Obviously, you start with Bo Dallas. He'll be Uncle Howdy. Eric Rowan. I can't say his name. Eric Rowan will be the second individual. Braun Strowman will be the third individual. Alexa Bliss would be the fourth individual. Now that leaves two spots open here. Now this is when it gets kind of tricky. That Joey character on NXT, there were a lot of things that he was Husky Harris when Bray Wyatt returned on Extreme Rules, and maybe you could tie him into the Wyatt Six family with that. Or, yeah, Joey Gacy. That's, or, isn't that like a politician? Joey Gacy? I don't know. Anyway, you can tie him in easily to the Wyatt Six family here. But then that leaves one more spot. Who could, now, this one, in my personal opinion, if you want to add anyone to the Wyatt Six family, you need to add a superstar that needs to rebuild his character. Anybody that gets thrown in, I mean, you know, I really always, when I think about a faction being started, I always think about Evolution and how Triple H brought on Ric Flair and him to solidify as the top guys in the group. And then he brought Batista and Randy Orton, very young superstars at, at the time. And then he built them up with the group. So for this one, I'm trying to think any WWE superstar that is on the roster right now that hasn't been doing much. I mean, I really can't think of anybody else. I mean, you can pick and choose anybody from NXT possibly. But there's not really any character that could really fit into the aura and the atmospheric like of a superstar or like a character like with Braun Strowman, Eric Rowan, the Wyatt family. But the only person I can think of is Dexter Lumis. Dexter Lumis, he was brought up into WWE. And the last time we saw Dexter Lumis was when he was in a feud with The Miz. And that storyline went nowhere. I mean, you can make an argument that Triple H was the one to introduce Dexter Lumis to WWE and the WWE universe. But then that's at the time when Vince McMahon was slowly creeping his way back into the company, and he probably didn't like the storyline, so he just kind of, pushed him aside and didn't have really much, any care for Dexter Lumis. So right now, I really think that those are the easily five members of the Bray Wyatt family, or the Wyatt Six, when Uncle Howdy does return. And I could really see Dexter Lumis being a part of the Wyatt Six family. And I think WWE could easily figure out a way for Dexter Lumis's character to be involved with the Wyatt Six family. I think that is the only thing that makes sense right now for WWE television and the Wyatt Six return. All right, now I want to turn my attention to, I know it happened last Monday, but we got to talk about it because it's affecting superstars right now. And Becky Lynch, she commented on it. But the promos are being a little more freely, I think, now with Triple H having full control of creative. This is according to Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful Select. He reported that those in the company said that there was a general outline of where they were supposed to go instead of scripted word for word things that they had to say on live TV. And you could tell watching Monday Night Raw, you could 100% tell that this was more genuine. Some people really don't like how other superstars are talking over other superstars. But you could just tell that it was so genuine compared to what we're used to watching on WWE. I felt like I was a kid again in front of my box screen TV and watching these superstars just kind of go, going ad-lib or going, freely, just like improv. Yes, improv. And you could just tell that the talent knew they were all going to just, be on the same page. And then they were told, though, that the talent knew they were all going to just go for it and see what happens. And then the promo segment was produced by Adam Pearce. And the report did note that we're told that WWE production wasn't anticipating CM Punk's line where he cursed, and there was a memo sent out to the talent recently to discourage them from swearing on air. And then that's when, Drew McIntyre said, PG, bro. But like I'm saying, you could just tell that it was just so genuine, and they haven't heard any issues backstage from it. I'm hearing that CM Punk is getting rave like reviews backstage and how comfortable that he is in the back of the house of WWE. And since like all this like stuff is happening, being more edgier, showing more blood with The Rock beating the holy piss out of Cody Rhodes, I mean, you could tell that The Rock is a little bit older. He really wasn't doing much. He was just beating the shit out of Cody Rhodes. But they showed blood. They're being more brutal and they're being more, realistic on how people would act in the real world. So, like, that's why now it's really fun to be a WWE fan. But some people, they really don't like it. The only one that has really come out about it is Becky Lynch. And she's mainly talking about how Rhea Ripley was during a certain house show, her basically riding her underwear and giving her the Rikishi butt thing to Nia Jax, like in the corner. a lot of people loved it. Me, I liked it not in a sexual way. I just thought that it was funny because she's being personified as like this, oh, everybody loves Rhea Ripley. I mean, even the women are questioning their sexuality for Rhea Ripley, and all the men love Rhea Ripley. I mean, that's all well and fine. Rhea Ripley isn't my cup of tea, but no, she's a very attractive woman. A lot of people in WWE are very attractive. But, you know, I'm not going crazy on how Rhea Ripley is always showing off her ass and abs on Instagram or X. I mean, I just think that she's a phenomenal wrestler and is taking her character beyond heights and is probably the top performer in the business right now. But Becky Lynch, she had a lot to say about it, and this is what she said. Lynch on Rhea Ripley's viral spot at a house show, and she said this. That just sucks that we're talking about that. You know, like when I think of the amount of women that have that were at one stage fighting against that treatment, like that was that they were forced to do 2-minute matches. Maybe I'm just stuffy and jaded because this is the stuff I had to fight against. Of course, everybody loves it and it's cool and edgy. But if I'm a little girl sitting in the crowd and I have my daughter and she's seeing that and she's thinking that that's what she needs to do to be a professional wrestler. And that's the stuff that's getting a reaction. If I'm a girl who's grown up and wants to be a professional wrestler and I see, oh, well, that's the stuff that gets a great reaction. And that's the stuff that people are talking about. And that's the stuff that we're posting on social media. And we continue and even the company does and pushes that kind of agenda. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but she does have a point. I mean, social media, whether you love it or hate it, me, I personally hate it. I hate how social media is where that if you're a woman and if, like, I see it all the time on Twitter. If you're a woman and you love sports and you tweet about sports and you have a take on it, and then there's always some troll out there that that comments and replies onto that tweet and says that, you know, basically, if you weren't a girl that's hot, that loves sports, you wouldn't have as many followers. I mean, hey, he might have a point. Because there are a lot of guys out there that really just follow these women that post a lot of tits and ass and don't really have anything else to offer. But I definitely see where Becky Lynch is coming from. But you're already an established person in WWE. I mean, to me, it's perfectly fine if you want to be edgy. That's just my personal preference. And Becky Lynch, she's a hell of a talent. I don't think that she's as nearly as good as Rhea Ripley is on the microphone. That's probably the only fault that Becky Lynch has is her promos. But everything else, she's a phenomenal wrestler and she does make some valid points, but I think going a little bit too in depth with it, and none of what Becky Lynch is saying that how the women wrestling league in WWE had to scratch and claw their way out of that type of atmosphere. But I think every now and then it's fine, especially if it's on a main event live match in a small town. I mean, you could do and you're more freely to do things in that match for a live event. Just my personal preference. But I'm going to head out of here, guys. It's been almost 30 minutes with this podcast. I don't like doing that type of podcasting anymore unless if it's a review of a certain pay-per-view match. But again, if you guys liked what you heard, please leave me a negative 5-star review. And if you guys really liked what you heard, hit that subscribe button either on YouTube or hit the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever that you're listening me on. But until next time, it's gonna be a busy week, guys. WrestleMania week. I'll definitely be talking to you guys in the next 24 hours. Let's just say that. But I'm going to head out of here. I'll talk to you guys later.